Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, Apostolic Church, Sabbath Church, Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 17, 2017, and it's Bill 29, 2021. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Yahshua." It's so sweet to trust in Yahshua, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the Savior. Yahshua, Yahshua, trust Him, God prove Him more and more. Yahshua, Yahshua, precious Yahshua, oh, for great to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Yahshua, just to trust His hand in blood, just in sample faith it drives me, with the healing cleansing flood. Yahshua, Yahshua, oh, trust Him, oh, prove Him o'er and o'er. Yahshua, Yahshua, precious Yahshua, oh, for great to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Yahshua, just from sin and self to see, just from Yahshua simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Yahshua, Yahshua, trust Him, approve Him o'er and o'er. Yahshua, Yahshua, precious Yahshua, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Yahshua, Savior, friend. And I know Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Yahshua, Yahshua, trust Him, approve Him o'er and o'er. Yahshua, Yahshua, precious Yahshua, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Sin is a transgression of the law. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. So let's go back to verse 1 now, 1 John chapter 3, let's start with verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Yahweh. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of the Yahweh, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. For every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Then we must become students of the law if we want to first understand what sin is. The only way we can understand what sin is to be a transgressor of the law. And how can you be a doer and a keeper of the law if you don't have understanding of the words that you read? So now, that should be plain enough. In the 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. What does that mean, manifested? That means that he was put on open display here on this earth, that we could see him in the person. And indeed, they did see him in the person, and they did whatsoever they wanted to with him, because he allowed it. And because of that, they hung him, they were able to hang him on the tree and crucify him and do away with him forever, they thought. But righteousness prevailed. And Yeshua came forth from the grave. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we'll read that there in 1 John chapter 2. I believe, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Now there we go again with that word sin. John is writing to the little children. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua Messiah, the righteous. So we have an advocate with the Father. And that advocate is Yahshua, his son. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. He is the one is the barrier between righteousness and sin. We're on the side of the sin side, and he's on the side of the righteousness side. And that is by virtue of his blood. So in Romans 8:34, it talks about this also. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is the Messiah that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of Yahweh, the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. He's not only at the right hand of the Father, but he's there also to make intercession for us. How he makes this intercession. So now, we go back to 1 John chapter 3, and we pick up where we left off. In verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. What does it mean by that? I hear the Christians today say, I'm a sinner. And I can be nothing but a sinner, and I'll be a sinner when I die. Then you'll be a sinner when it comes time for the judgment to fall upon all the wicked at the end of the millennium. Then you'll be there when that fire comes down out of heaven, and you'll be one of those that will be consumed along with Lucifer and those wicked angels. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, in 1 John 2:26, it says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is in the truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now we go back to John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, and we're in verse 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh, so you're a sinner, huh? And you're a born sinner, and you can't do nothing about it, huh? So the devil sent us from the beginning. What does it mean, the devil sent us from the beginning? You mean when the devil was first created in heaven? Then shortly after that, he fell into sin? And that is what we're talking about, the beginning? I thought that we had our beginning when everything was created in the first week of creation on this earth. Yeah, and we did, indeed, those that live on this earth. But how about those that lived in heaven first? That was created in heaven, along with our Son, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. He was created in heaven. The devil was the next created, and then the angels were the next created after the devil in heaven. For the devil sent us from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of Yahweh doth not commit sin. Well, Yahshua, the only begotten Son of the Father, he was the firstborn of the Father, and he came to this earth and was recreated, reincarnated again a second time, this time through earthly parents that were born in sin. But the earthly parents had overcome sin and become perfect without sin, or they could not have conceived the Son of Man, Yahshua. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of the Yahweh, the Father. In this the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of the Father, neither he that loveth not his brother. How do you treat your brother? You say, as long as your brother agrees with you, you treat him pretty good. But the first time he crosses your line, then what happens? Do you rear up against him, condemn him, and cast him out? Or do you say, well, let's do what the Bible says. Come and let us search the Scriptures to see whether those things are true or not. Let us go and study together and pray together and search it out together to see what is right about our disagreement here. We'll see who is right. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. And his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in the death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of Yahweh, the Father, because he laid down his life for us. Okay, let's do this again. Hereby perceive we the love of the Yahshua, the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim, because he laid down his life for us. Now, it was the Son that laid down his life. Yahweh the Father did not lay down his life, and Jesus is not the very God in the flesh. I know what it says in John chapter 1. I know what it says. But I know that when you put the prepositional phrases and articles in the proper places there in John chapter 1, then it tells a whole different story than what you're reading and understanding. Jesus Christ is not the very God in the flesh. He is the Son of Yahweh, the Father in the flesh. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of the Father in him? My little children, let us not love in the word, neither in the tongue, but in deed and in the truth. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And let's see what that tells us. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of Yahweh, which liveth and abideth forever. All right? Being born again. I have a good friend. I have several people that I call friends, and they are Christians in their own right, and in their own belief and understanding of the scriptures. They call themselves and Christian, and they use this word, born again. They must say to me, this guy is of a certain religion. But you know, he needs to be born again. Because he don't believe right. He don't believe the truth right. If you're a lawbreaker and a sinner, you're classified as a wicked. And they never were law keepers. Alright. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of Yahweh, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of Yahweh endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I have people say, well, one of these days, I'm going to leave this old world. I'm going to be raptured. And it looked like that could be any time. But if I'm not raptured, if I have to die first and go into the grave, well, then that's one thing. But if I die first and I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Well, what's the difference in dying and going to heaven and being raptured alive where you stand? You know, it amuses me about how people reason in their minds. People that call themselves Christians and law abiders. Now, too, a Christian out here that goes to church every week, whether it be on Saturday or on Sunday, they tend to obey the laws of the land pretty well. They're cognizant of the fact that we can't have a lawless society just out breaking the civil laws with impunity. They're cognizant of the fact that you got to have some kind of a system of obedience to at least man's civil laws, that they have no compunction regarding the breaking of the Yahweh's laws. They have no compunction on that. Heaven's laws are so much different than the civil laws of our country. But heaven has moral laws, and they have civil laws, too. And we'll read all about in the law of Moses. Let us go on now. Let's go back now first to John chapter 3. It says, verse 10. Let's do this again. Whosoever is born of Yahweh doth not commit sin. That's in verse 9. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of the Father. Is that the reason why Yahshua the Son didn't sin? Is it because he could not sin? Because he's born of the Father? Well, I'll say one thing. For a man here on earth that's born again, that's the only time that he's actually born of the Father, when he's born of the Spirit a second time. First, he's born physically into a world of sin. And he's not called a sinner when he's born. He has 12 years of upbringing that's required to teach a child how to walk in the right way and not commit sin. Then once he receives, arrives at 12 years old, he becomes accountable for his own self. Then after he's taught the right way and he chooses to sin, well, he has to be accountable for his own sin. His parents are not accountable for him. If they have trained him up in the right way for the first 12 years, then they're not accountable for his sins, if he commits sin. And the only reason why he would commit sin then is because his parents have turned away from the right way and setting a bad example and are committing sin. Then that would influence the son then to follow his parents' example. Now let's go on now about this here, being born again. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, "In this the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of the Father, neither he that loveth not his brother." For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. And that's in 1 John 2:10. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in the darkness, and walketh in the darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." Now here John is talking to these here Gentiles. He's in 1 John chapter 2, now verse 14. "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." Okay, now who is that from the beginning? The Son, Yahshua, the Messiah. "I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of Yahweh abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one." Oh. So that means if you've overcome the wicked one, which is the devil, Lucifer, you have overcome sin. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of his Father abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that the anti-Messiah shall come. Even now are there many anti-Messiahs, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." We had that very thing happen with Gilead Senate Permit Texas 2002-2003. We had been together for 33 years, the body of that congregation, and we were separated because judgment came there, and there was two spirits abiding in that place, and there was two manner of flocks of animals there. There was a flock of sheep, there was a flock of goats trying to abide together in the same congregation, and it just was not to be, never has been. It says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. Oh, so what is the truth? What does it say in Psalms 119:142? Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. But because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth, oh, because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. There's that word truth. Who is a liar? Okay, the question is asked, who is a liar? But he that denieth that the Messiah, that the Yahushua, Y-A-H-U-S-H-U-A, is the Messiah. Messiah is a title for meaning Yahweh the Father is with us here in the flesh, here on earth through represented by his son. He is an anti-Christ, okay, that denieth the Father and the Son. So how about those that come and says, Jesus is God in the flesh. There's only one God, and Jesus is that God. But it says right here that he is anti-Messiah that denieth the Father and the Son. So if you make the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit all in one entity, then what have you done? You've denied the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You denied all three. In essence, you have become an atheist, an infidel atheist. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. All you have to do is acknowledge the Son. How many times have I heard Christians say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because he died for you and he's taken away your sins and you have heaven built in. How many times have I heard that? Okay. Now, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now let's look at that word eternal life again. And this is the promise that he hath promised us. Even eternal life. He's promised us eternal life. It says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is with the truth, or in the truth, or of the truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Okay, so how many times have I heard people say, oh, that guy's a good guy, but you know what? He just needs to be born again. He needs to get his head screwed on straight. He needs to believe like I do. He needs to have the same kind of experience that I've had. Well, I went to church one day, this man would say, this sinner would say, because the first thing he did was confess that he was a sinner and nothing but a sinner, and that's all he could be until the day he died. So, therefore, this sinner is standing there talking to me, and he said, well, I went to church one day, and this preacher got up and called for an altar call, and, he said, all you have to do is just read those three or four verses up there on the board, on that screen in front of you, where it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and related verses, and he will forgive your sins, and he will, and you're saved forever. Long as you stay in these pews and pay the preacher man his money that he asks for every week, long as you come there and believe what the preacher tells you, pay your money, you've been saved. All you gotta do is lay hold of that promise that you are saved. Well, where is the promise recorded? I don't find any place in the Holy Scriptures that tells me that I'm saved just because I alone believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Admittedly, that's the first step you take, all right. That's the first step you take. But as you go to 1 John chapter 3 now, I just finished 2, and let's pick up where we left off there. And we go to verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. And it says, not as Cain, he was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's was righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of the Father, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have not need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of the Father in him? My little children, let us not love in the word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in the truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, Yahweh is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards Yahweh. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of the Son, Yahshua Messiah, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now the only way that Yahshua can abide in anyone is by the Spirit. And he will only give you that Spirit if you are doing what it says right here in verse 23. And this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of the Son, Yahshua Messiah, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now in John 15:12, it talks about that. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What does it say? We back up here a few verses in John 15:10. Yes, sir, told the disciples, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, Yeshua had 12 disciples, and he commanded strict obedience to keep his commandments from them. And indeed, they tried with all their might to do that, and they succeeded for the most part, except Judas Iscariot. He was the lone lawbreaker of the 12. He was a lawbreaker. Oh, he kept it by setting the day aside and observing the holy days. He kept his commandments superficially on the surface. But Judas Iscariot in his heart was a cold-blooded sinner. He was wicked, and he was a cold-blooded sinner, and he coveted Achan did. He coveted the gold and the silver. He coveted the things of this world. He coveted the high position in the kingdom of heaven here on this earth when it came down. He wanted that. He wanted all that. But he was a devil in his heart. And Yeshua knew it. The other 11 disciples didn't know it. But in John 15:11, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Okay. And it goes on in John chapter 15. It says, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were not of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So why does the world hate the Christian today? Because Yahweh and his Son has chosen them out of the world, and those wicked liberal Democrats hate the conservative righteous Republicans, and on the right. And so there you have it. You have the line drawn in the world today, right down the middle. And it is very clear as to whom is whom. Okay. Remember, let's see, verse 20, John 15:20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In other words, he said, I've ordained you to be ministers over the flock of the sheep that are in the truth. I have ordained you to be ministers over them. He said, but you know, my Father ordained me and anointed me to be minister over the flock here on this earth, and they persecuted me. And he hung me on the cross. In other words, after his resurrection, he could truly say, they persecuted me and they hung me on the cross. But the Father had mercy on me, and through the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant, which is in Hebrews 13:20, I was brought from the dead. I was brought again from the grave. And he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because you know not him that sent me. Okay, now let's go and read verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Now, we're dealing with the word sin today as our topic. But how... But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. So it was a work that Yahshua came and did among them. I'm talking about among the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the publicans, the sinners. They're sinners. He went among the sinners. That's who the Pharisees were. They were cold-blooded sinners. The publican Sadducees. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of the truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Okay, and ye also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And in John 19:35, it gives us a cross reference there also that we might read. It says that, and he that saw it bear record. And his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith the truth, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of the Yahshua, but secretly, for the fear of the Jews, besought the Pilate that he might take the way the body of the Yahshua, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of the Yahshua. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Yahshua by the night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Now who is this Nicodemus? He was born again. We don't know if, according to the regular John chapter 3, whether Nicodemus accepted Yahshua's offer to be born again, but according to what I just read there in John 19, Nicodemus was one of those that brought myrrh and so forth to put on the body of Yahshua after his crucifixion. So there in John chapter 3 now, we'll go and read it about Nicodemus, about being born again. Because Nicodemus, he was a sinner. When he came to Yahshua that night, he was a scribe and a teacher of the law of Moses in the synagogues, in the schools there at Jerusalem. He was one of the rabbis. He was one of the teachers of righteousness. But he was a cold-blooded sinner. He didn't know it, but he felt it. He felt it in his bones that something wasn't right. And that's when he came to see Yahshua by the night. He didn't dare do it in the daytime and be caught doing that in the daytime, because his peers, or those that were associated with him in the rabbinical council, would have tossed him out. All right, in John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came unto Yahshua by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yahweh, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Yahweh be with him. Yahshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of the Father. Now, isn't this amazing? He was telling Nicodemus, he said, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of the Father. Well, he said, Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of the Father. Now it says there in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, we might hurriedly turn to that and read that as a cross-reference. It says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according unto his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now that's what Yahshua meant when he spoke to Nicodemus over in chapter John chapter 3, when he said by the washing of regeneration, verily I say unto you, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of the Yahweh. Then he goes on and says in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. We back up here a couple chapters. It says, John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it says, but as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the Father, but of Yahweh. And the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, we have a correction to make here. John chapter 1, verse 13. Which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of the Father, Yahweh Elohim. Then it says in verse 14, and the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of the grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Yeshua Messiah. No man has seen Yahweh at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then, art thou the Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Now, they asked John the Baptist, are you the Elijah? And he says, no. But then in another place, the disciples came to Yahshua. They said, Yahshua, the Pharisees say that Elijah must first come restore all things. And Yahshua says to the disciple, well, Elijah has already come, and they perceived it not. And said the disciples perceived that he was talking about John the Baptist as being the Elijah that has already come. So see, John the Baptist didn't know that he had the message of Elijah. He was just preaching the message that he was sent to preach. And he didn't know. He didn't claim any titles, well, I'm the Elijah or this or that, because he didn't have no idea. But Yahshua made that be known to the disciples who John the Baptist was. John the Baptist didn't know himself personally who he was. So it says there in John chapter 3, verse 7, not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Okay, so when you're born again, you're born of what? You're born of the water and the spirit. So, the bottom line is, when you're told that you've got to be born again, you've got to be born again of the spirit. Not just simply, you got to be born again and no more to it. Now let's go and read from the book of Titus. Let's read the whole chapter 3. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of Yahweh our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of the righteousness which we have done, but according unto his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according unto his mercy, which he shed on us abundantly through the Yeshua Messiah our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according unto the hope of the eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Yahweh might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. I know that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me, unto Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey. Now what does it mean to bring Zenas, the lawyer? Was a lawyer of what? Is he a civil lawyer? Well, I say that he was a lawyer of the book of the law of Moses. He was an interpreter of the law of Yahweh, the Father, which was written and compiled in the law of Moses, the book of the law of Moses, and Apollos, and on their journey, diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. So Paul was careful to say, hey, bring the lawyer with you now, the one that interprets the law aright. So apparently they had to deal with law and justice. That back then, as they always had from the very beginning. Yahweh the Father has always dealt with law and judgment ever since Adam and Eve sinned. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Hallelujah. Okay, that is very good admonition. Let's read Philippians chapter 4. Let's try to find it here. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Yeshua, my dearly beloved. I beseech ye, Eudicus, and beseech ye, Syntychus, that they be of the same mind in the Yeshua. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with the Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Now, what Paul was careful to mention, help those whose names are in the Book of Life. But what about those whose names are not in the Book of Life? Well, that's who you minister unto first and foremost, is those whose names are not written in the Book of Life. But after you have already harvested them into the kingdom, then don't forsake them. Minister unto those, always those whose names are written in the Book of Life. Rejoice in the Yahshua always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Yahshua is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Father. And the peace of Yahweh, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Yahshua the Messiah. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of the good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the Elohim of the peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Yahweh greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked nothing. Not that I speak in the respect of the want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Let's read verse 10 again. But I rejoice in the Yahshua greatly, that now, at the last, your cure of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect to the want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through the Yahshua which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This brings a close of our step. This our contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. He must be born again by the Elijah David. Of the evening, a man can be a sugar. He has something on his mind, something hard to define. He pondered in his heart the things he's seen and heard, but most of all he had to hear from the living word. He said, Master, you're sent from heaven above. Else you couldn't do the things that you do with such love. And John has not witnessed such miracles in here today. So tell me, Master, what must I do? And all of you be saved. Joshua said, he must be born again, nothing of the water and the blood, the things you come out of sin. And walk in heaven's light, from this point on, nothing, and teach the world how to sing a brand new song again. And the Yes, world is burning down. We need help from everyone to spread the word around. The day is prospering, God is keeping us home. Work for the night is coming, and I can work no more. How is it with you today, my friends? What do you say? Do you need a closer walk with them along the narrow way? Need a pension friend, resurrection from the dead. Just listen closely to me now, wherever yes of us head. Joshua said, you must be born again, my friend. Oh, the water and the blood defend you from all sin. Smile from this point on, my friend, and teach the world how to sing a brand new song.